As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Stay woke. Bruh. New York strip steak? Ooh.
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Dave DeFore. We got Jay King. And we got some off-season to talk about. But gentlemen, before we get to moves that we like and don't like, which I'm gonna call this game sign or sigh. It's not that clever, but it's what I came up with on the spot.
Sighed. That's the name.
Pretty good.
We're gonna
pretty
play
good.
Sign or sigh later on in the show, and we're gonna talk about a bunch of stuff that's going on or that has gone on: summer league, schedule release, all this stuff. But first, LeBron is fueled up, guys, because in a random polling of what I think was about 10 executives or scouts, LeBron did not get a single vote for best player in the league out of those random 10 votes from scouts and executives. Now, we're going to have John Schumann's official GM survey right before the season starts, and that will be exciting. We always look forward to that. But this little random polling from ESPN did not have him picked as any of that, so he started calling himself super wash. He said that he was he, as if he didn't need more fuel for himself, hashtag washed king emoji. There's a lot there, and so I go back to that story that David Aldridge told us a while back about LeBradford Smith and Michael Jordan, right, where LeBradford had like 37 in a game against him as maybe a second-year player. I can't remember if he was rookie or a second-year player, and they're doing a home-and-home, and they're trying to ask him about, like, hey, you just scored 37 points against Michael Jordan, all this stuff, and he's like, no, don't do that. I don't want that smoke. And then Michael Jordan made up this story about how LeBradford Smith had said good game to him after that. And by the way, a game that the Bullets lost anyway, right? Like they didn't even win the game. And so, and then the next game, Mike ends up with 47, but I think he had 36 at the half, almost matching LeBradford's total as the
weak second half,
him.
Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, really, really weak second half. Wash King wouldn't have done that. Wash King would have been consistent throughout. But, Jordan made up stories to fuel himself. And I do think, like, at a certain point, at a certain level of greatness and a certain longevity of greatness, you probably do have to do that stuff, right? So, like, this random poll on ESPN does not matter, right? It's just like it's some off-season content to get us through, I think it's interesting that they split it between Giannis and KD on that, but LeBron not getting one of these, I think it was 10 votes, isn't a big deal, because for all we know, the other 20 would have been like, oh, it's LeBron James, right? Like, he may still be the overall winner here, but I don't know, Trey, like with LeBron and this, you know, this using this as fuel, is this better or worse than players being upset about their 2K ranking?
This might be worse. No, 2K obviously is worse because it's just a video game, and, you know, the only person that obviously it was effective for was Hassan Whiteside, right?
Right. Like, that was the only person.
I'm just playing well to get my 2K rating up, right?
Right.
And some guys, you know, 2K just doesn't get it right. Shout out to them people over there. But it's interesting because it's like, okay, cool. They didn't rank you 50. They didn't rank you 93rd. They didn't rank you, you know what I mean? A disrespectful. They just said that you're not the best player at the moment. Like, I mean, you could feel that way. Like, Zach, I'm sure you feel you're the best podcaster along with Jay King and Dave Before. You know what I mean? And say, hey, I'm the best. And that's cool.
I'm the GOAT.
That's cool to think it. But if other people vote, the people decide. The people decide.
If they get it wrong and don't pick me, yeah, of course, I'm going to be mad. Wash pod.
There you go. Hashtag wash pod. So when you really think about this situation, it's like,
wash pod.
Are we talking? Listen to who we're talking about. I would understand if they put like, and this is not a shot at anybody, but if they put Jokic above him. You feel me?
If they put Luka up there, if they put like
guys that ain't really like Harden or Steph, like, yeah, I think that like, have one good year or two or three. You know what I mean? And he's earned his keep. But to say that you don't think you're better than Giannis or KD individually at this point. You do believe that you're in a conversation, and that's respectable. Like, I think any list made, he's in top five, regardless. You know what I mean? Preset. And I had him at five with no Kawhi Leonard this season coming up, right? So I'm like, okay, you're 37 with a lot of miles and we're going off of what you normally do, but we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if it's just going to be one night where you're driving to the basket and it just, it doesn't look the same. You know what I mean? And we've seen those players like, damn, does he look old? Is that, what happened right there? You know what I mean? And we've seen those type of switches hit like, damn. That's it for him. And LeBron.
Well, it already doesn't look the same, Trey. That's
well,
the
we
thing.
Saw it. We saw it after the ankle injury, right? Like, that's how he looked. Like, he wasn't turning the corner.
Oh,
as much.
It was very gingerly, but like, he still was able to perform
at
a high level.
We saw it before the ankle injury.
Right. He's been, I mean, it's been a few. I mean, look, he's 37. This is not, it shouldn't even be considered slander to say the guy is getting older.
Look,
it's just sports.
I guess, I don't even think this is the anniversary.
Watch his old highlights one time.
It's not the
like, just watch his old highlights. He used to absolutely fly more than anyone else in the world.
Right.
He doesn't do that anymore. And he's adapted. He's become so much better in so many other areas. To me, this is the first time in like, we've probably had this conversation 10 times, 11 times mm-hmm. after seasons over the years where LeBron was not considered the best player in the game. And probably should have been. This is now the first time where he should not be considered the best player in the game.
Wow.
Like after the season he just had, after the season KD had, after the season Giannis had, LeBron's just
almost,
not there
I
at this point.
I almost think it's damn near disrespectful, though. Like, you got Kevin doing what he did, right? And then you got Giannis winning a ring. How do you skip the line?
I mean,
I don't get that. I don't understand.
He got beat by the Suns in round one.
Well, despite that, and I still don't even like. I don't think he's the best player on their team. I think AD is.
Ooh,
but it's not.
Wow,
I do not.
Now that
I'm at that.
Even, I don't healthy, think AD's even as healthy, close to.
Nah, LeBron. I got a healthy AD right now versus year 19 Bron.
The reason I don't is because I don't think AD makes his teammates better.
Right.
But
he's good.
But here we go. I just don't think AD like has those skill set of LeBron. You feel me? Like everybody
for sure,
don't play like that. Like we can't just say, oh my God, he's dominating the year 20 and he's averaging 17 and 10 assists. You know what I'm saying? Because that's his style of play. Like he can still be good. By making the right play. LeBron makes the right play. He's one of the smartest players to ever play the game. But I don't think it's a fair assessment to keep him top five because he's making the right play and he has the right talent around him. I think other guys would be successful, just as successful as him, if they had the right talent around him. Like, he's not going to have the Kobe Bryant type, like, farewell. You know what I'm saying? His rosters are going to be 04 Lakers-like. Where every year they're going to have somebody that still has a name.
He's not dragging Kendall Marshall around, right?
No, like he's not. No, he's not going to be having these guys that you're looking like. Even the MJ Wizards, where it's
that
like
Lakers team was. They kind of had some talent though. When you look back,
Kendall can
yeah,
play.
They, yeah, no, they kind of won 25 bumps, games
but
every
I'm
year.
Just saying, so like, they, yeah, had, like, you know what I mean.
They had like
Kendall can play, but you don't want him starting.
Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, were they all on that team? I'm not so, lying,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah.
That sounds right.
They kind of had a lot of talent, but they were all young and unproven.
Well, yeah, because they were picking top seven every obviously. Year because they sucked. That was like, they were terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jay, what's funny is to your point about like, he's not doing the stuff that he used to do athletically. You know that's true because whenever he does have that big dunk in a game, the fact that everyone's like, hey, still do it at this age. No, if he was still doing it all the time, like we wouldn't be marveling that he's still doing it. It would just still be regular, right? Like it would still just be regular. Like I think that I'm gonna go against what Trey's saying a little bit. Like I think he's much better than AD, and AD is an incredible singular force that is so good as an individual player that it puts him up there with the top players in the league. Mm-hmm. But I just think LeBron's better because there is more depth to what he does as a team player. And I think individually he can do everything that AD does. But also like Dave, I think that LeBron should be in consideration for best player in the league. Now, I do think there are plenty of reasons to have reservations about that, but there are reservations to think that KD is going to be healthy, that Giannis is going to be able to replicate what he did in the finals. Like I think you have questions about everybody at the top right now in one way or another, to where if LeBron's healthy, and maybe that's just the conversation, if LeBron's healthy post this high ankle sprain, like, yeah, there's no reason not to think that he can be the best player in the league.
See, well, I don't think he has that level anymore. I really
and maybe
don't.
Not.
And here's my thing. He will probably always be one of the best players in the league. But he has athletically fallen off. And he did that even when he led them to a title. He was not doing all the same things he used to do. And that's okay because he's gotten so much better as a shooter. He's the best decision maker probably of a generation, at least for a guy who's as talented as he is. He can still warp a game to his liking. And I just think the fall off for him has been enough. And the rise for Giannis and the continued ascension, or I don't even know what you want to call it for KD. Him just coming back from injury. And
I mean, KD's just KD. Like he's like a
he came
he's
back
an all-timer.
From a torn yeah. Achilles and was immediately back to being MVP caliber, which is crazy. But LeBron's fallen off just a little bit to me, and that's enough to like fall out of the best player contention, and that's okay. Like they could still win a title with him, AD, and Russ. I also think the Lakers have made it tougher on him. Like you look at KD, he's got shooters everywhere around him. It's easier for him. You look at Giannis, the Bucks have surrounded him with pieces that fit him. You look at LeBron, it's like he was playing last year with Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Kuzma, like a lot of guys,
yeah, but they were
don't
also
necessarily
the,
fit the mold of like what brings him to his best.
Right, but it was different though, right? Because they were also the best defense in the league start to finish, even when LeBron and AD weren't out there. Like right. I do think that it's just a different type of success. Like I see what you're saying, but like Dave, they were the best defense in the league by far.
And well, I also yeah. think it didn't used to matter who played around him. Like he brought Sasa Vujacic, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Anderson Varejao to the finals, and he was doing ridiculous
stuff. They got
smoked. Now I think it matters a little bit what type of roster he has around him, though. You know, like
well, especially
like
in the
it
West,
it matters that he doesn't have as much spacing. It matters because he doesn't have quite the physical gifts that he used to be able to blow by anyone.
Well,
and,
I don't know,
and just obliterate a defense that way.
I think it's getting a little ridiculous because I also think like they were hurt last year. Like he was hurt, they were hurt. Like I think that matters,
but he's 37. Like that's just kind of what it is at 37,
for
right?
sure. But do you remember, like in January, we were talking about how they're sleepwalking to dominance? Like they, like everything changed when they got hurt, and before that, we were joking around how they're not even trying and they're kicking everyone's ass.
Yeah, that, the only issue they had was shooting. You know, I thought that with the way that they were defending, they could have coasted through the regular season with LeBron and AD able to kind of take a step back a little bit. You know, the idea of Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell kind of working through the regular season to give those guys a rest. We never got to see it. So we don't know what it would have looked like if they had made it to the playoffs healthy. And I think we all agreed that there's a good chance that they make the finals if they were healthy, right? Like, I don't think that that's too hot of a take. I'm assuming, you get two top five players on a team.
Yeah. I feel very confident that if they stayed healthy, they make the finals.
But Jay's point is a good one, though, because, I mean, LeBron is not blowing past guys even when healthy anymore, right? Like, that's just not a thing. I mean, it's a lot of power in his game now. But his ability to control pace. Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, because he's still one of the best players in the league.
Right.
And the thing that he does better than everyone else is literally set the pace of the game. I mean, this is like, usually we don't see players doing it as young as Luka does it, but it's one of the things that makes Luka look so special is because he's doing it so young. Well, LeBron's the best at it, possibly ever. And he's just incredible at that. So he really does bend the game to his will to a certain degree. And it makes up for some of the loss of physical attributes that he's experienced as he's aged. That being said, this argument here is exactly why I prefer Seth's tears when we're talking about these top players. Because Zach,
like when he
made
cries
a great
about
point.
It, those tears? You mean?
Well, those are the best. But I think that, Zach, you made a great point. Number one, we don't know. We're guessing, right? And it's going to vary week by week.
Yeah,
I think we're going to have a week where LeBron looks like, you know,
the best player
in the league.
Dudes, and we're gonna get clipped from this podcast. That you guys question LeBron. And it's gonna get thrown
I'm fine with it, bro. I question him every year. I'm okay with it. They can question.
I also think this is an important distinction to make. He is no longer the best regular season player.
Right.
Yeah. Can he still be the best playoff player? I think that's up for debate. And if he is, the Lakers will be in a great place. If he can't get there, then I don't know.
So here's my thing.
Like, if he can be the best player for 25 games or whatever it's going to be in the playoffs, then that's all that matters at this point. He won't be the best regular season player next year.
So before we pivot, let's give our personal rank of where he's at right now. Jay, let me start with you.
I'll go KD, Giannis, and then LeBron's in, like, they would be my top tier. And then I would have, like, LeBron.
So you got Steph, LeBron over Steph.
Harden. No, they're in my, like, LeBron, Steph, Harden would asking, all be in my next tier.
My question is, 1 through 5, he's top 5, correct?
Yeah, I think I'd have him top 5.
Okay, so where does he belong in that top 5? What number?
See, I thought we were doing tiers here.
No. Seth does tiers.
I thought we were doing tiers here.
No, that's copyright infringement.
At best, third.
Okay, so you got him over Steph. Okay, cool.
Goodness. At best, third.
Zach,
but
what you got Bron at?
I got him at 1.
Still, you still got him as the best player?
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, this is the funny thing to me, and this is how, like, funny basketball is. Yo, if KD's foot is behind the line on that shot in game 7, we're not even considering Giannis, right?
Oh, I don't know if that's true.
In this conversation, I guarantee we're not bringing him into as number 1. And I guarantee he's not getting those votes from that random poll. I guarantee it.
But
we might shit on this dude for not getting it right in the playoffs.
25 in a closeout game. In the finals.
You're right. You're right. But if that shoe is 4 inches back a little bit, we don't get that, right? So that's the funny thing to me, is that it's literally a game of inches here in terms of considering Giannis for the top. Now, I do think Giannis is obviously a top 5 player. Like, I would go LeBron 1, KD 2. And the reason KD's not number 1 for me is because he's back offensively. Defensively, he's not the same player he was before the injury. And
is
so,
he still better than LeBron defensively, though?
No.
LeBron is a
way better than him defensively. Yeah. Like, KD was getting smoked this year, and he should be. He's coming back from an ACL from an Achilles injury. Like, you should be getting, like, but KD, like, got better as the season went on defensively, but he's still not even close to what he was before. And LeBron's a damn good defender. Like, I don't know what you're talking about there.
I think KD was a lot better than you're giving him credit for late in this season.
Late in the season, but okay, I need it more than, like, 8 games in the playoffs. Like, I think that, like, it showed that he was improving and getting back there, but until he's back to that defensively, I'm not putting him over LeBron, because I think that's how good LeBron is. So I would go LeBron 1, KD 2, Steph 3, Giannis 4. Who would be 5 for me?
Where's Luka?
Luka's not top 5.
He's not top 5. We're not going to do that.
He's top 10.
I'm with you, but
five.
I think he has a chance to be top 5.
I'd probably go Embiid, but it's either Embiid or Jokic.
Embiid got to be high, bro.
Jokic is way up there, too. He would be in my second tier.
So Jokic is like the workhorse, right, where he plays every game. Embiid, I think, is a better player because of how great he is defensively, but like you can't really guarantee he's gonna be there for the whole season. So I'll just say Embiid because of the overall, but it wouldn't shock me if Jokic is higher on everybody else's list.
See,
I don't hate that list at all, Zach. I think that's pretty good.
Dave, where you at with it?
I'm a Jokic over Embiid guy, and I don't think it's particularly close.
And why you say that?
I just think Jokic by himself is an unstoppable offense. Like, it doesn't really matter. He was playing with Faku. He was playing with, like, and he's had more playoff success than Embiid. He's, despite looking lumpy and doughy and everything like that, he's had better stamina when it counts than Embiid. He's always been incredible down the clutch, whereas Embiid tends to fade away in fourth quarters. And I obviously there's a big gap defensively between them, but I just think Jokic, because of how he's performed in playoffs and because of how he's performed late in fourth quarters to help Nuggets wins, that separates him in my eyes from Embiid, who as good as he's been and as great as he's gotten has never been able to carry his team to wins or even out of like the second round. And he's lost to some mediocre team. Like losing to the Hawks is pretty bad. And obviously he wasn't the issue in that series.
Hold on a second.
He shot them out of that one game that they should have won a lot of like really bad stuff.
I also think it matters to that team that late in fourth quarters, like he's not the same defensively and not quite as prolific offensively. So that stuff matters to me. And I think Jokic gets better in those moments.
For sure. And like, you know, Embiid got swept in the second round. That was Jokic. Jokic got swept and got outplayed by DeAndre Ayton. That's right. I forgot about that. But no, good points. Good points.
So, Dave, who do you have?
Man, LeBron. I don't know. I really just never think about this stuff like this.
Said Anthony Davis was the best player in the game.
We could go to the tape, but I said he might be, right? Like, it depends on your interpretation. And again, this stuff changes throughout the year constantly. Like, I mean, we see guys go on runs and, you know, like Steph Curry at the end of the season, was he the best player in the league? You know, he was playing like it.
No, man, he was
Jokic
ridiculous.
Certainly had a stretch where he was the best guy.
Jokic,
in the
obviously,
Yeah, so this is where my mind goes. And so, but I think, Zach, I'm kind of with you on your list. I think that I don't know that I have LeBron 1. I think I have KD 1, probably Giannis 2, because, you know, the defense that Giannis brings is just, you know, I think he's probably the best defender in the league. And then, I don't know, some combination of LeBron, Steph, and Jokic or Embiid. I don't know. But that top tier to me is pretty clear. Like those guys are the difference makers, differentiators, guys who can be the best player on a championship team level guys. And that LeBron is still there and he's been playing for 19 years. I think that's the stuff that gets lost when we, you know, talk about, oh no, two players out of 450 might be better than you. It's such a weird thing to get pissed
cares about this stuff.
No.
Or
no,
but I just think about it.
I think he's performative as fuck. Fucking cares. Hell yeah.
I mean, everything is a performance, right?
Everything. Like,
I wouldn't be shocked if there's a special edition Space Jam, A New Legacy version coming out next week, and that's what this is used as marketing. I wouldn't be shocked.
Please no. Please no. Don't make us watch another one.
The director's cut, you know? I would be shocked about that. I don't think I mentioned Harden for possibly for fifth, but I should throw
him
there because I think
he should be up there.
Yeah, Harden's
I got him at four.
You got LeBron at four?
I got him at four. I got
Kawhi would be in the mix too if he were healthy.
Yeah, but he's
so then he would be five if Kawhi was actually playing this year. You know what I mean? And this is the only thing. Here's the thing, right? I got Kevin at one, showed us all year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean he's ridiculous, yeah.
Flat out. Giannis even stamped him. Then I got Giannis at two. Got to put Giannis got to be in the conversation for one because he just won the chip despite anything that happened. And after coming back from his injury and hooping and doing what he did, he had quiet MVP numbers too on the low, but he was never in the conversation this past season. And then three, I got Steph still performing at a high level. WAC team still getting buckets, doing what he did, you know, and there's no decline in that situation. I didn't see it. And then you got LeBron right there. And like four is respectable. I mean, I'm not looking
four,
at him.
Four's still really good. Yeah.
Four is good as hell.
Yeah.
Four, listen, if you're offended by four, cool. Yeah. I'm fine with it. But at 37 years old, year 19, with the supporting cast that he has now, we're not factoring that in because he's going to be taking less shots. He's going to not be expected to show up as much as he needs to. And I think he's still going to be able to average about 23 a game. That keeps him at four. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to make some great plays. He's going to, you know, sometimes have some defensive plays. And more so his highlights are going to be mostly offense. And again, that's still respectable. That's the conversation. If you're not top five, like 5 through 10 could be scrambled and randomized. You know what I mean? Like those are the forgotten pack kind of. Five and down is that part. But if you're top five, you're still one of the biggest players in this league. And the fact that he is at his big age and still labeled a top five player is a nod.
I thought you were about to knock him. I thought you were about to say at his big age that he's still complaining that people think he's not the best player in the league. I was like, I agree with that one, Trey.
Well, that too. I mean, come on, man. Like, listen.
I just don't understand caring about any of this.
All these guys
care. LeBron, right?
No, all these guys care.
I know, but it's just good grief, man. Log off.
It's not just LeBron.
No, but if they came out with a list of top podcasters and there were just some scrubs getting votes –
As long as the check's clear, Jay, I do not care.
But who's the scrub?
I just don't.
Oh, I do because I know I'm better than them.
But Jay.
I know you're better than them, Zach. I just don't. I do not care.
Listen, what? I would understand if they were like, you know, I got Luka over him or something, right? And the only reason why I would using Luka's example, because Luka's going to have his time, right? But he's not there yet.
Yeah, we can't fast forward.
You can't fast forward that.
No,
and that's why I'm saying
people were mad. But the people were mad that people Seth had him in tier two.
The guys that people voted for were just played in the finals, like close to the final. You know, one guy played in the finals, one guy just won Olympic gold. You know what I'm saying? And played at a very high level. He wasn't healthy. I don't think none of the stars were actually fully healthy. You know what I mean? And hopefully, you know, Lord willing, we get a full healthy season going into this next season. And that they're able to perform, but it's so much. I mean, I don't even want to make this a LeBron type podcast because he also, some clip came out about him saying that he had the two hardest NBA championships ever. And I disagree. I think one was,
he said it and it was, oh my God.
Listen,
That's the propaganda.
Yeah.
All the guys we're putting in the top five,
the propaganda.
The difference
I like
between
that.
Them is so thin. Like, any of them could be the best player in the playoffs next year, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Like, it's fun to debate. It's fun to talk about, but nothing more than that. They're all just incredible. Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, speaking of things that are fun to debate, I want a top moment from all you guys. Like, what's the thing you took away the most from Summer League?
Ooh, well, Davion Mitchell.
I learned about Davion
Mitchell. Davion Mitchell is...
I'm not buying the Davion Mitchell gas. I like him, though. I respect him. I'm glad that he got drafted and whatnot, but I don't see that shit happening in Sacramento.
Just wait till they move De'Aaron Fox because he's so good.
Why aren't you buying it? Like, what do you not buy about it?
Listen, So that's summer league. I like that, but I want to see that type of energy. 82, and he ain't seen none of the best guards. He ain't locking it up.
I agree with that. I'm with Trey on this, where I think he's really good. I think he's going to be an impact dude as a rookie, which I think is really hard to do. But I also like, look, man, he locked up like Book Knight on his first summer league game. Like, you know, it's not like he's doing this to Kyrie, to Chris Paul and stuff. Like, he's going to be really good and he's going to be fun. He's going to be competitive. And I think he raises the level of competitiveness on that Kings team, which has been a problem with that group. But like, it is summer league at the same
time.
And
I like that he wants to be in SAC. So between Halliburton and him, they got guys that actually want to be Kings. That's rare. That's like, mm-hmm. I want to be a Sacramento King. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's very rare. And I think like his energy is going to be great. I do not want to see a three guard situation. That's going to remind me of Hornacek in Phoenix. And I do not want to see that at all, because they're going to be getting barbecue chickened if they do try that. Like I said, I ain't gonna mention names, but I talked to a couple guys. And like I said, that's not happening in the league, bro. He not about to be locking none of that up. He going to get some of them guys that think it's sweet. He might catch a Darius Garland or...
Darius Garland catches strays.
I mean, listen, I like Darius Garland. But I just say, like, Darius Garland probably going to approach the game and smirk at him and probably rudely be surprised that Davion Mitchell's coming with that type of energy versus a Kyrie, a James Harden, you know, guys that Luka, like, that going to use his... Come on. How tall is Davion Mitchell?
6'1".
Cut it out.
Something like
that.
Cut
it out, bro. Like, you know, and no. Go ahead, Jay.
So here's what I buy about it. I think defense, more than anything, tends to carry over from summer league to the NBA. Like, if you can really move your feet, if you're aggressive, if you're smart, that's going to carry over to the NBA, because all those things matter in the NBA in actual games. You're right, he's not going to be bottling up the best point guards. Nobody does. But that Kings team was woefully inept defensively.
Not woefully inept, the worst in NBA history.
Yeah, and like, needed some badass dudes to come in there and change the energy. And I think he does that. And I think he'll be that irritant. He'll be that pest every single day at practice, and it will raise the level of intensity of a lot of guys on that team. And I think we've probably seen that culture change happen in other places. Like, when the Warriors were first coming up, there were stories about how Draymond Green pissed off people at practice because he came in and he was yelling at people, and it was, you know, okay, Draymond's here. And it pissed off a lot of vets who were kind of comfortable in their ways. But you need that when you're transitioning from the worst defense in NBA history to whatever the Kings want to become. So I think all that matters. And then two, I think offensively, he just gets where he wants. And I don't see many guys staying in front of him. And I think that will matter too. How much it will matter on the Kings, where they already
I don't know about that. Well,
I don't know about that. Hey, the gas is high on this pod and the gas is high outside, baby. I'm going to say that.
I'm just saying, he can get where he wants with the ball. He's going to be a good player. Now, what that matters, I don't know. But I liked Davion Mitchell before the draft. I didn't like him ending up on the Kings, but I see it better now that like they need somebody to be that feisty, and he'll definitely be that guy.
So my sleepers right now, bro, Josh Christopher. Right.
Oh, love Josh Christopher. He looks good.
As everybody else got all the attention, he played efficient. He did what he did on both ends of the floor. Was definitely a fave. Not really like Cam Thomas.
Yeah, he can.
Cam Thomas. I don't know. Oh, I don't know.
He's such a scorer.
I don't know what's his role going to be with the Nets, but they got a steal. I don't know what he's going to do. I expect him to be a 15-point scorer.
I think with Cam, like, he's going to be a dude who gets them through that, hey, Kyrie's not playing tonight and James is doubtful. I think, like, it's those moments, like, throughout the season. I don't know how many times we're going to see the big three together in Brooklyn. I almost said New Jersey. In Brooklyn, I don't know how many times we're going to see that, but he helps add that depth of, like, look, obviously there's a drop off between those stars and him, but they will be there'll be a Spencer Dinwiddie aspect to it of like, yo, he can come in and get you some buckets and help that offense moving for the next 8 minutes.
Microwave guy.
I think you guys are really gassing him. Like,
what did I ask him to do? I said, like I said, I don't know what his role is, but if he can...
No, just carry the Nets when the stars are out. He's an inefficient dude who can get shots, but...
You just said Davion Mitchell can score against anything.
No. I said he can get to the lane against anybody.
Yo, so that's different than scoring. You didn't watch this kid just listen. All he needs is 8 to 12 points, bro. They're not asking him for the world. He's playing with three of the best players in the league.
See, just go be an issue for 4 minutes here.
Cam Thomas, he's an interesting one because he can definitely score. Like, obviously,
they add Paul Millsap.
He's got a gift
for
scoring, but he needs to change his decision making some to be an NBA scorer. It could be like a Jordan Clarkson career arc for him, where he goes from like early on in his career, he's scoring some, and it's like, I'm not sure he's good at it.
He's gonna be better than Jordan Clarkson.
Then he polishes some things off, and then you look up and, oh man, Jordan Clarkson is really good all of a sudden.
Look, I don't even care if he scores 20 points a game. They need 8 to 10 points off the Jody. And listen, he come off that bench and just give them 8. That's a win. They don't need a lot of shots because they're gonna have, listen, James comes in when Kyrie comes out, James plays the point. Now James gets to pass it to a kid that can just shoot.
He's passing it to Patty Mills, not Cam Thomas.
Patty gonna be running the show too. So now James get the rest. I'm telling you, dog. Like, I like that kid.
Also, they're not playing all 82. Like, he's gonna have a lot of opportunities.
He's gonna have a lot of opportunities. And you know what, Jay? When he crack and have a few good games, I'm gonna tag you every time.
Every time. I'm
and
so sick
time,
of the King family
Davion
shitting on
Mitchell,
scores. Listen, I can't even tell you.
And anytime Davion Mitchell get a DNP, I'm going to tag you too. Because it's going to be some of them too. He ain't going to play all the time.
Davion Mitchell is not going to get DNP CDs.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting DNPs. The Kings aren't good enough for that.
But again, is he going to get more minutes than Fox and Halliburton? He's 6'1", bro.
I get
y'all
the feeling
like
he's going to play a lot with
I don't
them.
Know who he is. Y'all, I mean, unless he got Sharif Cooper draft prospect hype, I don't know. I don't know who this kid is.
I like Sharif.
He started on Sharif.
I like Sharif.
I like Sharif, bro. He's really good.
God, he's good. Scouts got it wrong. That was my favorite dude at Summer League, right? Like,
yeah,
he was
man,
out
he was
there.
So much fun.
He was experimenting and stuff like that.
Yo, he's dropping dimes. He's, oh my God.
It's amazing how he was able to slow down in the lane so that his guys could catch up cutting. Did you notice that? Like,
oh,
he
for
really,
sure,
like,
yeah. No, I mean, he's a real point guard.
Like, bro, he went from play.
If he could shoot even a little.
He went from two-way to like, hey, this dude is going to play.
Yeah. Look, it's only summer league, but it's funny to me because, like, I didn't watch him in college really at all. But
I've been following
his shit on Instagram for years. So it's like all I've seen are like the highlights, right? That's all I've seen out of him. And so then watching him in summer, I was like, shit, this just looks just like Instagram. This looks just like House of Highlights and Ball is Life. Like, this is great. I love this shit. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a Thon Maker experience.
No. Oh my God, that fraud. God.
By the way, I have nothing against Davion Mitchell. I'm not a buyer. Just wanted to put
they're rookies.
I just wanted to put that out there.
They'll probably all stink.
I mean, that's the thing too. Who is your sleeper rookie of the year right now? Is it
Jalen
a sleeper
Suggs?
Or is it an obvious?
Is Jalen Suggs a sleeper?
He's in Orlando, right?
I think
score a lot.
I think Green. Green and Cunningham are obviously your favorites. Like, and Jalen Green's going to put up like 23 points a game.
Depends,
like, he's gonna be,
though. Oh, yeah.
I would put Suggs in that category too.
So Zach, I think depends. Suggs and Green are. Their future is going to really be decided on how the teams move forward with two trigger happy guys. You got John Wall and you got Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony not getting off that rock. I'm telling you that now.
No.
So
this is going to be crazy. I almost think Cole Anthony might be unplayable when Jalen Suggs is healthy. I don't think you could put Cole's going to want to put him up.
Oh,
right?
He's going to be gunning.
He's going to be gunning.
They don't got Because
there's
no
competition.
More.
There's him.
AG.
There's Markel. They got RJ. Even Michael Carter-Williams is going to get time,
like
right?
Team,
like, there's,
I don't even like how that team is made up right now.
No, but
very nasty
they tore
team.
Everything down. They're just trying to get as much talent as possible and figure
they out. Asking who want to hoop at this point. You can go play.
Yes, right exactly. Magic. especially for big men and power forwards.
Like, they're just like anybody. Wendell Carter, bro.
Oh my god. I like Wendell. I hope he's good there.
Nice kid. He probably will be. Got out of Chicago.
That's gonna be rough. Yeah, Jalen Suggs is probably my favorite story of some. Well, other than like pissing off the city of Houston with a joke, that's probably my favorite.
Oh, that's so easy though.
Yeah. What's funny is they're like, so they got mad at me for making the joke about how like Şengün is bad after one game, right? And I'm getting my mention just filled up, and they're like, and you said Christian Wood's not very good. I was like, I meant the Christian Wood thing.
Okay,
I didn't mean the Şengün thing, but I meant the Christian Wood thing. I don't think he's like, he gets numbers, but we might have a Hassan Whiteside situation here.
Did that one guy do a rant about you yet, or
on Houston radio?
Yeah,
I could not give a shit if he did. I don't know.
There's very a ranter easy. On Houston radio.
Oh yeah, there's a ranter everywhere, but the Houston guys really. I'm gonna sound personally.
Like such a prick here. I don't care about local radio unless you're paying me to do a weekly spot. All right, that's just how it is.
You were right. You did sound like a prick.
Clip that, you nerds. Yeah, I think Suggs was probably my. I mean, I don't know. Jalen Green was so fun. Josh Christopher was so fun. Şengün was fun, right? Like they like Houston had a phenomenal draft, and we barely got to
second
see
second year guys were Houston. Fun.
What's
you
that?
Know, like Memphis sent a real team, man. Like
yeah,
Bane and Tillman were fun.
Hey man, getting to see Michael Beasley out there was fun. Like actually, that's
that was
my
a
moment.
Blast. I didn't know
Beasley.
He was on the team till
I didn't either.
I was just walking by the court to go work, and I was like, wait. I think that's Mike Beasley.
Yeah, man. Because I've just seen him lately on Instagram, just like yelling, "We them ones" constantly after scoring on people playing King of the Court. Like it's to see him out there in an organized basketball environment again was fun.
I love that he's still hooping because for a while I felt like he wasn't the type of guy who loved basketball. And now he's just like in summer league, just trying to continue the love affair with the game. And that speaks to me. I love guys who love hoop.
Kenneth Faried's
shout
only
out to Jamal Crawford.
Kenneth Faried's only 31 years old.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, life be lifing. The fact that when I seen that, when I seen that Kyrie was only 29. I was like, yo,
yeah, man,
that's crazy, man.
I know.
Like we know. Be, it's funny. We be growing up with these dudes, and I just be like, yo, he been in the league for a long time. And he look, and he like, he just turned 30.
Hey, you want to know something crazy? Greg Monroe is also only 31.
Yeah,
right.
Yes,
that's probably wild. Playing in the Adriatic League, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
After turning, I mean, remember he signed that qualifying offer? Oof, man. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day, Trey, because you know. The idea that LeBron is still this good, this late, I don't know, man. I worry that you're going to run into a point where eventually the players just won't be the same quality, and then all of the old guys are just going to age out of the league. Now, we're not there yet because the young guys in the league are really, really good. But, man, there are just not many jobs.
Yo, no.
And we've almost got like a little bit of basketball boomerism happening where you have so many good players that are –
what's
going to
be like the WNBA,
and up.
Where it's like blame 144, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, you're looking like, damn, y'all stern on that number? Y'all don't want to go up a little bit? 144, that's it. I don't care if you have a household name or not. You're getting clipped. Yeah.
But there's so much talent. I've argued for, like, they should expand because there's so much talent. They'd make more money.
They've done that a little bit with the – I mean, they've expanded the roster a little bit with the two-way guys, which I like. But, yeah, I mean, I think they will expand. I think, like, you know – Seattle will happen. I don't like the idea of forcing an even number of teams. I don't know if I would expand to two more teams right away. But yeah, like Seattle's going to happen at some point.
For sure. I think Vegas is probably
Vegas will probably happen
pretty
too.
Likely,
like,
right?
It's just always like it's like, okay, well, how do we keep this even number of teams? Like most of our lives, like most of the NBA, you know, 75 years, they've had an odd
like
number
29
of teams.
Yeah, or whatever,
like
for a long time.
It was
29,
it was 27, it was 25, like all that shit, yeah.
That just blew my mind. I never realized that till right now.
Yeah, it wasn't until Charlotte came back that it went to 30.
Yeah. I do think that, you know, if you get 32 teams and if you really want to push for a balanced schedule, you can do it pretty easily, but I don't expect them to get rid of any games, you know.
Right.
I think we're stuck on 82.
Vegas and Seattle, baby.
Oh, what about that midseason tournament that Adam Silver talked about this week?
What are we doing? The FA Cup?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. How do people that follow the Premier League care about the FA Cup? They'll show up to a game. Does anybody care about it?
I mean, you incentivize the players by giving them money for winning, right?
Right.
Like that's, and then eventually, like, because what's funny is like if you get a Minnesota or a Sacramento or Cleveland or Orlando or even like a Toronto or something like that, right? If you get one of those teams to win it, then you build like those fan bases will find a way to care about it. Like the Lakers winning the midseason tournament, they're not going to give a shit other than the money.
Right.
And well, Lakers fan base won't care about it either.
The league only cares about the money that they're going to get on the TV deal. And the TV people just want cheap television because it's cheaper to produce a sport where you don't have to pay any of the production costs. Just give me the feed, right? You don't have to pay any writers. You don't have to pay any stars. So it's just cheap television for them. For the league, they just want the money from the TV deal. I don't know. Do they care if anybody watches? I mean, maybe just for the next TV deal, but once you get it on one, who cares? It's built in.
I feel like in soccer, there's a culture where stuff like that matters. In basketball, there's no such culture. Unless they would have to build it to a place where teams care about it, players care about it. Otherwise, why should fans care about it?
It can't look like the All-Star game, right?
Yeah. Right. You can't have guys sitting load management.
But I think the way you do it, I think the way you do it is you don't add games onto it. You repurpose those like random January Cleveland and Sacramento tonight, right? Instead of making that just a random regular season game, you find a way to turn that into part of the tournament. And so now,
what should be the prize of winning to incentivize guys?
Money.
But money. How much money would guys really care about? I think like add ping pong balls to it for the lottery.
See, that players aren't going to give a shit about that. Here's a better chance to draft
franchises finals. Are they're not going to load manage players if they have a chance to win 5%.
Yeah, but if players have a chance to win more money, like, man, look, they make a lot of money, but they also win money. They like to win.
Ping pong balls and money.
I don't think they're going to give a shit about ping pong balls. That's a very fan-centric thing. Players care about money.
Yeah.
Like that's what that's going to be to get. Yeah, you want them to care about this.
Players don't want extra draft picks because then it takes spots away.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But
if the league put on like if they were going to skip the draft 1 year and they asked the players to vote on it, it would probably be unanimous.
Right.
Unless Bronny's in that draft.
Then LeBron's going to ask the Banana Boat Gang to.
That's right.
To curry some favor with that. all right, let's get to.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's get to the game show that everyone's clamoring for. Everyone's been talking about in the streets. It's called Sign or Sigh. Jay King loves it. Sign or Sigh. We're going to go through a signing or trade from the offseason that we like and one that either we don't like or just we scratched our heads a little bit on this one. So, Jay, I'll start off with you. Sign or Sigh. Which one are you picking?
I'm picking Sigh.
Okay.
And I'm going with the DeMar DeRozan.
I knew it. I knew you were going to do this.
I knew this. DeMar DeRozan is a good basketball player. He's a helpful basketball player. he has become a good passer. He evolved his game in San Antonio. He's still very productive. What the hell is Chicago thinking? That is the worst possible fit. Him, LaVine,
another
and Vucevic?
Another one I'm going to prove you wrong about. Can't wait.
Him, LaVine, and Vucevic? How are they going to defend anybody?
Well, they're probably bringing Markkanen back, right?
Nah, Markkanen's out of there. It's Pat Williams is a defender on the situation. And then also, got defense on Lonzo Ball and Caruso. Come on, dog.
They gave up multiple draft picks to overpay a guy who doesn't fit well on their roster and doesn't tangibly move the needle.
Vucevic?
That is going to be, at best, a sixth seed in the East, probably in the play-in tournament. And I just don't see it. I don't get it. I don't know why they're trying to fast forward things. I loved Chicago's offseason until that very moment. The Lonzo thing was great. The Caruso addition was important. They were making moves that I thought helped them substantially without doing anything dumb. And then they did something dumb.
I disagree. So you got a disgruntled all-star on your team, right? Sorry, I almost called Zach a superstar. But I meant Zach Harper. But, you know, you got a disgruntled all-star on your team that was ready to dip if you didn't make any changes. So what they did was go get DeMar DeRozan, who also played college basketball with Vucevic. And then they also improved their point guard position by getting Lonzo Ball and also adding a reserve in Caruso. And this team is focused on getting to the playoffs, not trying to make, closely to it or bet on potential. You know what I mean? Like they drafted okay the previous years, but it didn't pan out. Markkanen is soft. He can go. Wendell Carter, they shipped him down to Florida. You know what I mean? Like, I like the move as a Bulls fan. And then also, like, I still think that DeMar has something left in the tank. I mean, he also, you know, when players leave San Antonio, they play a little bit better because they are not strapped down to the system. And he was able to, you know, do things that they hadn't been able to do for a long time. And he could be a primary ball handler as well. I'm not saying that the Bulls are going to win a championship, but they'll be in a better spot than they've ever been in a long time. You got to think about it. As if I put my Bulls fan hat on, we've sucked for a very long time. We got Derrick Rose.
It has not mattered unless Derrick Rose is MVP or Michael Jordan was involved.
Right. Like, it's a lot of scrubby, like, situation. You know what I mean? So I like the move, man. It wasn't too crazy overall in that situation. But I'm gonna try to please at me, J. King, if you're right. I will apologize.
Oh, he's going
right.
to be
yeah,
right.
He will. He will. I mean, DeMar has been spinning it. Yeah.
Well, you can't have DeMar out there on defense with Vooch behind him. And you know, I with Jay, I loved what they did getting Lonzo and signing Caruso because those are guys you need up top when you've got Vooch behind you. And this kind of is going to kill that. And I'm just not sure how the fit works. He likes to operate in the mid-range space a lot. I mean, now what? Is LaVine spacing to the corner when DeMar has the ball? I just don't think that's great.
I think for me with the move, I like a lot of their moves individually. I don't see the plan altogether. But I think the smart thing about this move is DeMar, like, I don't know if people, like, DeMar's probably still better than LaVine. Right.
Oh yeah.
Like
I mean, he's a really great playmaker.
And Zach LaVine has said it. Like he wants to be respected in his next contract. He's looking to get paid. He's probably looking for max, but he's looking for a massive contract. What this does is gives them flexibility if they decide we don't want what he's asking for. Right. And so you can either move him, you can sign and trade, you can do a lot of things with that. You like letting him just walk would be a mistake, or you can bring him back and kind of see how it fits together at some point. But I think it gives them financial flexibility and roster flexibility to not be pigeonholed into whatever that next contract is for him. Now, he may end up justifying all that. He may come back even better this year, right? All-star last year. Now he's won Olympic gold. He's been around those guys. He's been in that environment. It may come back and, you know, I don't think it's going to turn him into a good defender or anything, but he may just be such a great offensive force moving forward that that this looks like, all right, now this pairing can work. But I think it's a smart move because it gives them flexibility. I'm way more down on the fact that they traded two firsts and Wendell Carter Jr. for Vucevic at the deadline. I think that's a much worse move than what this DeRozan move is.
So multiple.
I mean, at least they didn't trade for and sign Devontae Graham.
Right. That's that's the sigh for me.
Like, right. Yeah.
There was a couple of I guess Devontae Graham fans on Twitter, which is a weird avenue to hold down. But there were a couple when I was like, yo, I hate the signing. I don't like the money or whatever. I don't like giving up a first for him. And someone was pushing back. I said, he shoots 38% from the field. And they're like, oh, there you go, going by field goal percentage. I'm like, okay, go to fucking effective field goal percentage. Shoot 51%. That's still bad. That's not good for a guard. Like, I get most of his shots are threes, and he's a little above league average for three-point percentage. But, like, that's a dude who, all right, he can pass. Like, he's a pretty good playmaker, right? He's not great, but he's pretty good. He doesn't turn the ball over a ton, so that's good. But he can't defend. He can't make shots. And you just gave him 10 a year, plus gave up a first for him?
I kind of like his offensive fit next to Zion, though. I wouldn't have paid him that much money. I wouldn't have let go of Lonzo so that I could sign him. But if your goal as a franchise is to turn Zion into a point forward, which I think should be the goal because
that's
going to
be what they're doing. Yeah.
Then having a point guard who shoots like 75% of his shots from three and does it pretty darn well is a very good offensive fit. And I think adding more threats around Zion needs to be a substantial goal for that franchise moving forward. So from that standpoint, I didn't hate it. From every other standpoint, like, he's a limited player on both ends of the court, really. But I never understood how little they valued Lonzo Ball. And especially how little they valued Lonzo Ball next to Zion, because I felt like those two could have been really good for each other for a long time if they decided to keep them together.
The Lonzo thing makes no sense to me. I mean, he's so good.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he didn't want to be there. I don't think they wanted to pay him the money it was going to take to keep him. Like, I kind of get it, but I would much rather create an Eric Gordon situation. Like, yo, we're matching your offer.
Right.
Like, you're playing here until we decide that we don't want you anymore. Or you become an unrestricted free agent. Like, that's probably what I would have done. But I sort of get it from the idea of, like, you don't want guys who don't want to be there.
I guess I get it. I don't know, man. I think when you're a team that needs talented players and assets, you should try to keep the talented players that you have on the roster and try not to trade out assets for less talented players.
That is
accurate. I know that's a hot take.
I agree with that. Dave, what about for you? Sign or sigh for something?
Well, I mean, the Lonzo signing I thought was fantastic. And for all the reasons that we kind of laid out, and then that gets sort of shot in the foot. And now I'm caught kind of fumbling a little bit trying to think of what my favorite move was. Honestly, man, it was a lot of it was just that I thought some of the teams that needed to stand pat actually did. And I'm looking at the Sixers in particular, bringing back Danny Green, and you know it has to be a Danny Green thing, but bringing back Danny Green and
I
not
known he was going to say Danny Green,
but not trading Ben Simmons
right now,
but not trading Ben Simmons, I think, is a good thing for the Sixers because, man, they were pretty good last year. And then the wheels kind of fell off in the playoffs a little bit. And part of that was having to go next man up, and they just didn't have a lot of depth. And so the warts start to come out. And so I'm really curious to see whether they actually do move Ben Simmons at all. I mean, they're asking for a ton, which is a smart move because they're good, right? Why break up what is a pretty good team unless you're going to get a huge haul? Like, if you can get Damian Lillard, certainly do it.
I'd be shocked if he was a Sixer. If 2-5 was a Sixer by
The trade deadline?
By Christmas.
See, but this is my thing, though. I think it's at least worth taking another look at it because they had a pretty good season. I
mean, yeah, they did. No, for sure. But here's the problem is, like, the fact that all the communication is now going through Rich Paul.
Well, that's the whole behind the scenes thing that I just do not care about.
Show up and do your job.
But
that
yeah.
matters. Like that shows me that like he may not be there by training camp, right? Like when it gets to that point, you don't really see a resolution of like, you know what, we'll figure it out together. Like that's not what happens.
I don't think anyone involved wants them to be together. Like if I were Ben Simmons,
I'm the only person, and Embiid
and Doc Rivers both came out and were pretty public about how I failed in that playoff series. I don't want to go back there. If I'm Embiid, if I'm Doc Rivers, if I'm the rest of that Philadelphia roster, if I'm Daryl Morey, I'm thinking this guy is not the right fit. He hasn't progressed enough over the years. He doesn't seem to be making any substantial strides as a shooter, which is really important, especially next to Embiid. I want him gone too. So if he's still there, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll try the crate challenge. if he plays more than 5 games for the 76ers next year, I will try the crate challenge.
Wow.
I wouldn't be shocked if he's traded before camps open, but I'm just hopeful that he's not going to be. Like, I don't want him to be traded. I want to see this team get another chance.
Why? And
look, man, why don't we knock Draymond Green? Like, we don't knock Draymond Green for the same stuff that he does that's similar to Ben Simmons, right? We just don't. And to me, when you can get a guy who can affect the game in the myriad of ways that Ben Simmons can at a high level, I just think that those guys are worth having on your team. Like, he's a really, 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 really good player.
But here's the difference.
And the one issue that he's got is glaring, but Draymond has the same issue.
No, here's the difference. Draymond has always proven more valuable in the playoffs because his intellect is so important, because obviously the fit matters with Steph. He, you know, engineers 4-on-3 fast breaks basically in the half court. Obviously that matters. But Draymond has always risen his level of play in the playoffs, whereas Ben Simmons, he gets to the playoffs and becomes a pumpkin. And so there is a huge, huge difference between the two in my eyes for that reason. And if you want to say Simmons would look different if he had, you know, that type of situation, if he had more shooting around him, that's okay.
Boring,
but it's all theoretical. It's all theoretical, right? Right now, what we've seen, he's always gotten to the playoffs and teams have been able to take him away. And that matters a lot.
I don't disagree with that. I would like to have seen it at 100%. They were really good for the season, and I thought that they had a chance to make the finals potentially. I mean, the shooting was going to be an issue. I think if they wound up running into Brooklyn, it was going to be a big problem. But they could have hung with the Bucks, I think, and losing Danny Green really hurt them, just because they didn't have anybody like the next man up. Just wasn't the same quality. And then with Embiid's knee, it was pretty obvious that he was laboring against the Hawks. So I don't know. I'd like to see what it looks like if they're healthy.
It's going to look like
but that's
that.
Just me. It's going to
look like
though.
The big point guard is still afraid to do anything in the fourth quarter. That's what it's going to look like.
I mean, that's the biggest issue, is that he's not a fucking point guard.
Right. Well.
Right.
Tell the Sixers that. Trey, before we get out of here, sign or sigh, what's something that you like?
So for sigh, it was a lot that I sighed on, but
I'll give one. Giving Evan Fournier $78 million instead of just giving Reggie Bullock 30. I thought that was – I don't like that in terms of the money, value.
I like that Evan can hoop, though, but it's the Knicks, so I didn't expect too much crazy.
What about losing Caruso for the Lakers? That was a sigh.
My sigh was –
That was weird.
Honestly, though, my sigh is just these Lakers signings, bro. Like, the meme team has come to life. If this was 2013, it would be fire, but I sighed on that. Just because they only returning 4 players, well, 3. Dwight don't really count because he was on the team previously. But I sighed at that because they just assumed like it was just automatic chip and not understanding like chemistry matters and health matters in this league. So I sighed on that. And then the sign, I liked the Lonzo Ball move for the Bulls.
Yeah.
And then I also liked that, the Hornets were able to bring back Rozier.
Yeah, I don't know if I love the money. If he plays like he did last year for the next 4 years, I'm in on that.
But I just look at what the cap doing and stuff like that. Like,
sure.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, guys are just gonna cash in. It is what it is. Like, I'm not.
And shout out to Tom Haberstraw. I love them picking up Ish Smith on $5 million.
You feel me? Shout out to Ish still being able to cash checks. So
yeah,
I'm always down for that.
That's a great signing. All right, that's gonna do it for this edition of the Basket Buds portion of the Athletic NBA Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the athletic.com, best coverage in sports for anything that you want to consume. Also, I got a little project that I think is starting Monday when you listen to this, so just go to the athletic.com, check out the singular team recaps for the offseason, what it means for next year. And other than that, follow Dave, follow Jay, follow Trey, follow me, follow The Athletic, and make sure you keep it locked on The Athletic.